And on this Palm Sunday, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, for let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. For which cause God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. We'll take the Gospel from the Palm Sunday, which we'll read at the end of Mass today, from St. Matthew. At that time, when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto Mount Olivet, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say ye that the Lord hath need of them. And forthwith he will let them go. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, a king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of her that is used to the yoke. And the disciples, going, did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut boughs from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So now as we begin this holiest of weeks to grow in holiness, prove our love and our friendship with our Lord, the Church sums up this whole week in the collect of today. Almighty and eternal God, it was your will that our Savior should become man and suffer upon the cross as a model of humility for all mankind. Grant that we may follow the example of his patience and share in his resurrection. So the Church reminds us that Christ, though being in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant for our salvation, giving us an example of humility and patience. And we began our spiritual exercises of 40 days, right, on Ash Wednesday, when ashes were strewn on our head, and we were told that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Such a rite humbled us to realize our nothingness, and also remind us of our debt of punishment due to our first parents, Adam and Eve, who, although they had a perfect knowledge of God, they had incredible knowledge of all of his creation, they had no unruly passions, as they were full of grace and free from all concupiscence. Nonetheless, they sinned by pride, as did the angels, pure spirits, with not the slightest temptation towards any greed or lust or sin of the flesh, but nonetheless fell from their heights to the depths of hell by pride. So pride is that enemy of God that we should fear the most. And it's the only, it's that sin by which we not only transgress the commandment of God, but oppose God himself and place ourselves in his place. We see that in the original sin, right? That I will be like God without God, or I will not serve. And so this is the sin we should fear the most. St. Gregory, instead of placing it amongst the capital sins, replaces it with vainglory and says that pride is rather the mother and queen of all the vices. So it's our chief enemy in our spiritual life. And how are we to combat it? We are to combat it, obviously, by humility. And there's a lot of misunderstanding sometimes of what pride is or humility. We have a relativist culture, which we'll contemplate in the gospel passages this week, in all these narrations of the Passion, right? Where the Jews will tell Pilate, don't write that he is the king of the Jews, but rather he said that he is the king of the Jews. Or Pilate saying to our Lord, "What is truth?" Right? We see that thrown in our face by a relativist culture, as if it were somehow pride, an act of pride or arrogance, to insist that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father save through him. We see our Lord's example of humility in not denying the truth. And that's the simplest definition of humility that St. Teresa of Avila gives us, to walk in truth, right? So it's not so we're just denying what actually exists or is real, but we're acknowledging the full reality of that without God we can do nothing, right? That only God is good. So we see it in our Lord, for example, coming in today to into Jerusalem, right? He accepts the praise of the people because it is true and it corresponds to his messianic dignity. So he receives the hosannas. At the same time, he doesn't fall into any vainglory because he knows the praise of men is vain and fickle and superficial. It should be given to him, but he knows that same crowd will within a week betray him and cry out, crucify him, crucify him. So our Lord gives us that example of humility and truth, right? As we see today throughout the Passion as well, when they ask him if he is the Son of Man, the Son of God, he says, "It is true. You say that I am." So that is to respond in the affirmative. And so he's been revealing all this week in the liturgy his divinity, right? So it's not an act of humility to pretend that Christ is not God. That would be the greatest blasphemy and pride, right? Relativism supposes that man is God and that all of our opinions are just equal, whereas man is just a creature. And what's the full reality of man? Is that, again, humility is not to deny the talents that we have, but rather to recognize, as the Apostle says, "What good do you have? What good have you that you have not received? And if received, how can you boast as if it were not received?" Right? Everything that we have has come from God. In him we live and move and have our being. We can't even move or exist. And even our natural talents are oftentimes by our genetics that we've been given, right? And even the development of our talents is done because in him we live and move and have our being. It is God who is at work within us, both to will and to accomplish, according to his good pleasure. "For without me you can do nothing," our Lord says. And so even the whole reality of our Christian life is that Christ living and acting through us. So that's why St. Therese said that she'll appear before God with empty hands, that even her good works are the works that our Lord worked through her. He'll have to crown his own works, his own gifts. And so that is the reality of humility. It is not to deny the truth, but rather to acknowledge that God is truth and that all comes from him and should be referred back to him. We see it in the gospel today as well. We see our Lord riding on an ass into Jerusalem, right? He receives the praise as it corresponds to him. But where is our place, right? In terms of humility, we are the ass upon which our Lord rides into Jerusalem, right? Does anybody remember his name, right? How dumb that ass would have been to think that they were applauding him. "Hosanna, here I come. People are praising me," right? It wasn't about him. It's not about us, right? Even if we did everything perfectly, we would have just done what we should have, right? We're just this beast of that our Lord uses to come into Jerusalem. Right, the praise all goes to him. Only God is good. Even when they praised his talents seen before men, he said, "Only God is good." Right, even his human nature is only good by participation in his divine person. And so we want to grow in humility. And how do we do so? What does the liturgy tell us again? Principally by growing in, by practicing the sacred liturgy, right? Remember, the sacred liturgy is the source and summit of our Christian life. So, agi quod agis, as the Fathers say, do what you're doing. Just focus on the liturgy. You have everything there to grow in holiness. St. Thomas says humility principally concerns itself with reverence to God, showing reverence to God. So, if we want to grow in this habit by repeating actions, repeat actions which show reverence to God. Like when you came into the church today, right? And you made a genuflection. As we hear in the epistle today that as Christ emptied himself, we acknowledge our nothingness, right? And we every knee shall bend before him. So we acknowledge that he is he who is, and we are that which is not, when we bend our knee. You see in Good Friday, the sacred ministers lying prostrate before the altar. Likewise, again, an acknowledgement of our nothingness before God. So make those acts, right? Your sign of the cross by which you wish to be crucified with Christ, right? By your genuflections, your prayers, kneeling, all of that is a profession of reverence for God by which you will grow in humility. And likewise, the colleague mentions patience, right? Especially think of this week, that again, although he receives praise, he also receives opprobrium, right? He receives them spitting in his face, accusing him of having a demon, of being a blasphemer, of dishonoring his father. Okay? He made his refutation simply at other times, but now he just accepts humbly all that his father will permit him to suffer. Right? Not my will, but thine be done. And he offers it up in reparation for our pride. Okay? That has to be our chief exercise then in this Holy Week. Accept in patience all the sufferings you have to bear. Try to go a whole week without complaining, right? Our Lord's not complaining. He's the only one who really has cause to do so. So let's offer it up. Let's join him in patience. All those acts of patience, we acknowledge that I have only deserved hell and punishment, right? I do not deserve praise. Why do I complain of such supposed injustices to me? So let us arm ourselves with these thoughts, and I leave you with this great quote of the great spiritual writer Bossuet, to focus on this whole Holy Week, that man makes himself God by his pride. God makes himself man by humility. Man falsely attributes to himself what is of God, and God, so as to teach us to be humble, truly assumes that which is of man. Worldly honor has been accused before the humbled God. Hear ye the sentence. After all this, shall we take into account the judgments of the world? If we believe in Christ hanging from an infamous tree, let us say with St. Paul, let us go out, therefore, with him, out of the camp, laden with his opprobrium, and thus we shall participate in his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.